I want to say.
At some point, we'll do a roll call. Right now, we have a quorum available.
Director Pisano.
Here.
Director Robinson. Chair Knobby.
Here.
Quorum is present.
We will begin with item number 40.
Good afternoon, Chair and the members of the committee. The Chief Capital Management Officer's report has several construction updates this afternoon, starting with the Eastside LRT project. Dennis Morey will do the presentation.
Well, good morning, or good afternoon, I'm sorry. The Metro Gold Line Eastside Extension project opened in November 2009 on time and within budget. But during 2009, we also began the construction of two smaller projects along the 6 mile east side alignment. And those projects included 2 miles of 4 foot high steel picket fencing between the tracks along portions of the at grade alignment on 1st and 3rd streets. Also, we also began the construction of a new 3.5 level 266 car parking structure at Pomona Atlantic, which is the eastern terminus of the Metro Gold Line Eastside Extension. So I have good news to report. We have accomplished our goal, which was to complete both of these additional projects within 6 months of opening the Eastside project. So those two projects are done. And I wanted just to show you some photographs of the completed projects. First of all, there's a photograph of the completed 266-space parking structure, and that's going to open to the public tomorrow. And what we've done to advise the community and also all of our riders in the area, because this is a park-and-ride facility, is that MTA Media Relations has issued a press release announcing to all the media outlets within East L.A. and Montebello and Monterey Park and surrounding communities that the park structure will be open tomorrow. And during this time since November, we've been leasing properties from Pep Boys and also a Presbyterian church across from the East L.A. Civic Center station, and to provide temporary parking of about 150 spaces. So when we open tomorrow, we're going to advise the people that have been parking there through signage that they will no longer be able to park at those temporary lots and encourage them to park at the new parking structure. Here's another slide that shows photographs of the completed pedestrian barrier fencing, and this was installed along 2 miles of the at-grade alignment. And so, again, this was something that was requested as we are about to open the project, so the board did approve funding to provide this additional fencing, and all that work has been completed ahead of schedule. Excuse me. I just wanted to finish by saying that this is a federal project, so we do have a full funding grant agreement, so we are still in the process of closing out the full funding grant agreement. The project's closed on time and within budget, but the FTA still has a lot of interest in what we're doing, particularly at the last FTA quarterly meeting this year. They asked us what we are doing in terms of our lessons learned for the new Measure R projects. And as a matter of fact, last year, MTA helped to host an MTA engineering workshop here in Los Angeles with about 45 other transit properties, and we made a presentation on risk assessment and our success on the Eastside project. So the FTA is very interested in what we're doing here in terms of our management of these mega projects, and we will continue to work with the FTA as we close out the Eastside project on this lessons learned, and also working with the other Measure R projects to update our criteria and produce project management plans. So this should be my last presentation on the Eastside project. We are all done with all the additional construction work, and I've really enjoyed making presentations to this committee. Thank you.
Structure is opening
tomorrow.
Great. Okay.
Thank you.
The next one is the, the next one is the Orange Line Extension Program. Before I go into Orange Line Extension, I would like to request Chair's permission to talk about the third-party issues that we have with all the construction projects. We have three very active projects going on at the moment. One is the I-405, the other one is the Orange Lane extension, the third one is the Hart Lane or the Express Lane project. All of these three projects, coupled with the Expo, ongoing Expo projects, requires an extensive coordination and working relationship with the City of LA. City of LA, because of their furloughs and reduction in force, they have difficulty in catching up with a lot of requirements that we have on these projects. So we have suggested to the city, made a proposal that we need 30 FTEs dedicated to metro projects so we can get these projects moving on schedule. Any delay on these projects on a daily basis is going to cost a significant amount of money. So whatever help we can get from the board working with the city, we would appreciate that.
Hopefully, the mayor or some of his folks are still listening to what we're saying right here, and if not, I think it'd be appropriate to might even want to agendize it just to, or have the chair send a letter to the mayor in regards to that. Certainly would be an appropriate action. I mean, everyone understands their situation, but if we can put people in there, we have to pay for it anyway. It could be a very expensive delay in many of these projects. So, Ms. Robinson, would you communicate that?
Exactly.
Well, this is just a separate item. This is an issue on the three major projects that we have going. Because of City of LA's furloughs and other issues, they don't have the staff necessary, and they're all projects being coordinated with the City of LA. What we're saying is we have to pay that cost anyway. And so can we put 31 FTEs inside or have those
dedicated to MTA projects?
Dedicated to MTA projects. We may come in and move forward to the building just to communicate that to the city.
Pardon me, Harriet. We have come up with the each bureau what the skills needed are. So we have listed them and, the city has, I believe, some furloughed staff who are being actively working on the projects. If there is a way to bring them back, or I don't know how the rules of the city work in engaging these people too.
Well, yes, 2 days, but we're working on any furloughs of staff that are special funded and making sure that we fill those gaps because we're working with all of our partners in trying to make this work during this process, as well as the fact that we may not be furloughing special funded staff in the future. So the CAO is working with us on that as well. So we'll report back next month because we're already working with your staff to make sure that we fill that gap for you.
Delays could be very, very expensive. Okay, next item. Thank you.
Next one is the Orange Line extension. This is a 4-mile busway extension along with the bikeway. This contract was awarded to Brutico Engineering in March of this year. They are completely mobilized at this point, and this is a design build. They are currently working on the designing of the busway along with the street crossings and stations and the remaining work on the bridges. Next one. We are currently working on a fencing project there at the home park. And Metrolink is trying to complete their work with our modification to their tracks and signals. We hope to get that done pretty in the month of April or earliest by May. LADWP is working very closely with us to relocate some of the power conduits that they have at the Chatsworth Station. And the next slide shows the rail signal modification that Metrolink are doing at this point. The next project is the I-405 Sepulveda Widening Project. This is a 10-mile long freeway work, northbound lane. Currently the contractor is fully mobilized on the project. We have well over 250 people working on the project. They're all housed under Integrated Project Office. We seem to have established a good working relationship with Caltrans, with the city of LA, county of LA, trying to get all those issues ironed out. The project, as we see it now, is currently on schedule. The funding it has not changed. All indications from Caltrans and CTCR that they will be funding the project. As far as the field work is concerned, we completed the pothole work along the entire corridor. We are restriping. We have finished restriping the northbound 405 lane. We are going to start restriping the southbound 405 pretty soon. It will take about 2 weeks to do it. Next one. And there's a lot of smaller activities going on which I have listed. I don't want to go through them unless you have specific question again as those items. More importantly, the contractor is getting fully ready for major construction work. He has already started manufacturing the precast panels for the mechanically stabilized earth retaining walls that we are going to put in. That's a major work that's ongoing. The design is pretty much in the range of 70 to 80% complete along most of the corridor. And we have getting all the reviews accomplished right in the field office itself. The community activities have been pretty extensive. We have very active homeowners association in Westwood. Also, we are having additional meetings with agencies like Santa Monica Mountain Conservancy, and the Getty Center is very much interested in every activity that we have along the corridor. We are working with the Westwood Recreation Center, and we are also having many meetings with Sherman Oaks Homeowners Association, Sherman Oaks Neighborhood Watch. All of these associations are very much interested in all the activities that we are going to have along the corridor, including the construction sequence. They are more worried about the noise levels, traffic handling. So our community relations group has been very active, and they have been very helpful in handling all these activities. It's coming along pretty good. Continuing more further activities along the community, the Bel Air Crest Association, they are interested in all the activities that we have. UCLA is concerned about the 405 and the Wilshire street ramp relocation, so we are working with them. We are also working with the MTA itself, because for our subway to C crosses the 405, we need to coordinate both activities over there. The next one I have is the City of Los Angeles. I think we just talked about the third party. We still have some issues on the master cooperative agreement. We are trying to iron out those. And they are performing the design on a lot of the relocation work needed for the Sepulveda Boulevard. And some of the issues we have, we still have the right-of-way issue that we need to settle with the 24 homeowners that we have in the Westwood Hills. So that's what we are working out. Caltrans has just come up with their final response to the homeowners' request regarding the sound wall location. Now we need to go back and make sure that each one of the homeowners sign off on those sound wall locations. If they don't sign off, we may have an issue. We are hoping that we could get their sign off. Another major one that we have is the 96-inch water main, which we are trying to keep it in place. This is a very old water main. If we touch it, we don't know what condition it is in. So we are working with MWD. We seem to have a solution to leave it in place. Hopefully, we should have that agreement in next 2 weeks or so. We have some right-of-way issues with the GSA. We need to take a portion of the sidewalk adjacent to the GSA buildings along Wilshire. They are not a very happy camper about it, but we are trying to work with them on that. And the county of LA is worried about a 12-feet by 12-feet drainage structure we have. and it's a significant issue for them. We think we can protect that one in place by redesigning some of the work that we are doing for the freeway widening. So that in general is what's happening at 405. If you have any questions, I'll be answer. If not, we can move to the next one.
Any questions? Not, go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. The next one is the Expedition Light Rail Transit Project. We have recently, with the direction from our CEO and Deputy CEO, appointed Jim Cohen as our project manager for the expo. Jim. And Jim Cohen is the gentleman. And Mr. Rick Thorpe, as you know, is the CEO who is going to give the update on it. Jim, you have anything to add? Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon. I'll walk through some of it's a fairly brief presentation, at least from the aspect of what's going on, with the exception of schedule and budget. And I want to spend a little time. I know the construction committee wanted to focus on some of the delay issues and what created those delays. And I'd like to take a little time to brief the committee on where we stand currently with the budget. So as we had mentioned before, the project is about 58 weeks behind schedule. And I have a slide. The next slide kind of breaks down why we are so far behind schedule. And it's a whole host of issues. Starting kind of in the lower right-hand corner, the original environmental impact report called for an expansion of the maintenance facility down at the Blue Line Yards. We were unable to acquire that property because it's owned by the power company, Southern Cal Edison, and we were unable to acquire that property. Took quite a while to figure out where another location was. We found a location in the downtown area. Because we had to move it, we had to redo the environmental, meet with the community, and the politicians in the area to get their concurrence, then had to go ahead and design it, and we are just now finishing that design work. Some of the other things, the big box is in the downtown area, Blue Line tie-in. Metro had asked for some enhancements in that area. Some of those enhancements required putting additional crossovers in for operating flexibility. When we tore up the street, we found that the tracks were in bad condition, and we had to pretty much reconstruct that whole track system in that area, which delayed us significantly. The 110 bridge, we between the contractor and Caltrans and trying to get through the permit process, was delayed in completing the design and getting an encroachment permit to start that work. PUC near LA Trade Tech protested our application, which was cleared environmentally. As a result of that, we negotiated with the PUC to eliminate 6 of the 8 crossings in the Trade Tech, worked with Trade Tech, but that work delayed us significantly because we had to basically redesign that whole area adjacent to LA Trade Tech. As a result of the Chatsworth accident, Metro went back and looked at all of their different lines as far as potential train-to-train accidents. One that they identified a potential is where the Expo line and the Blue Line come together, and they have since asked that we add what we call automatic train protection in that location. That has the potential of further delaying the project because we need, number one, to design that work. We have been able to run some conduits as part of our work, but we have to purchase the equipment, design, manufacture, purchase the equipment, and now I'm being told that it's going to require some additional right-of-way takes that we don't currently have, which will require us to go through an environmental process as well. So that has a significant impact on the project. The biggest delay has been at Dorsey High School. We applied for an at-grade crossing consistent with the environmental documents some 3 years ago now was our first application. We have been, about 6 months ago, the PUC denied that application after about a two-year evaluation effort. We have been working with LAUSD since that time and are very close to reaching a settlement agreement. The settlement agreement hopefully will bring to this board next month. The agreement, in essence, adds a station at Dorsey High School, so the trains come to a complete stop at that location before crossing the intersection where the kids come to and get out of school. So we believe now that we have the support of LAUSD. With their support, we think the PUC will move forward and approve that agreement. The La Cienega aerial structure was delayed because we had overhead power lines. Contractor didn't realize the extent of the work, the actual work, design, construction, installation took close to 11 months to do. They were late in getting that working with DWP. DWP didn't have the staff to do the design work, so Expo wound up having to take over the design and finish the design work. Then DWP didn't have the staff to construct the conduits, and we wound up having our contractor do the conduit work for DWP, and then finally DWP came in and pulled the wires. Finally, at the Venice Robertson aerial structure, that was supposed to be an interim station. Instead of an interim station and spending $10 million on a station, we were able to seek 1B funding and provide for the permanent station. But in order to do that, it was added fairly late in the process and set us back significantly as a result, at least to getting to Culver City. So our goal right now is to open up the project to La Cienega. That assumes that the PUC moves forward with our settlement agreement with LAUSD. We would open up sometime July of next year to La Cienega, and then the following summer, most likely July, to Culver City. So that is the approach that we're moving forward with right now. Next slide. From a budget standpoint, for the work that has been identified and part of the baseline project, we're projecting that we would finish the project with a little under $6 million in the budget. However, that doesn't include a lot of work that needs to be added to the project as a result of some of these safety enhancements. We talked about the automatic train protection. That wasn't budgeted, and that cost is about $4 million. PUC required safety enhancements at the Fauchet Learning Center, and that is somewhere in the $3 million range. We have the Farmdale, adding the station at Farmdale. That one is going to add about $14.5 million to the project. So basically what we're doing right now is putting together an a package that we'll be bringing back to Metro to add these elements, these safety elements to the project. And we anticipate that we'll bring that back next month to the board with the settlement agreement as well with LAUSD. With that, just a couple of progress shots. This is now, as I indicated, one of the bridge over the 110 freeway that took us a while to get started. It now is moving along very well, and the contractor's actually installing track work at this point. Next slide shows you the stations. Pretty much all the stations from Western towards the downtown have now have canopies, railings, the platforms with the tile work have been installed in most places. This is the La Cienega aerial structure. False work is now being removed on that, and the station itself is being constructed. Next slide is Biona Creek and the MSE walls between the La Cienega aerial structure and the Biona Creek aerial structure. This is in the background is Culver City, so that is towards the west end of the Phase 1 project. And then to kind of as a wrap-up, the local jobs program is moving along really well. Local residents worked a total of 35.7% of all the construction work hours in February, and we're now up to about 25% of all construction work hours on the project to date. The contractor is estimating that they will reach the 30% goal by the end of the project. And about 30% of all the workers on the project as of February were local hires as well. And then finally, Phase 2 and where we are with that, we selected the two most qualified design build firms. They are now conducting preliminary engineering and will compete for the final design and construction. That should occur sometime towards the end of this year when we will open up fixed price bids for the work to do Phase 2. We have issued notice to proceed for one of the firms and anticipate this week the notice to proceed for the second firm. And we continue to meet with all the stakeholders out along that line as well. That being said, we have received a lawsuit by a community group called Neighbors for Smart Rail. That lawsuit has just been recently moved to federal court, and we anticipate it will probably get dismissed in federal court and move back to the Superior Court in the next 4 months. So we're tracking that lawsuit. At this point, there hasn't been an injunction, so we're continuing to move forward with the PE effort at this point. And that concludes my presentation.
Yes, just briefly, how are we doing with the Phase 2 necessary for actually move along?
Yeah, we're moving along. We've reached an agreement with the City of Santa Monica on what we call a hybrid facility. We're going to swap some property. It's kind of a three-way swap. We're going to buy a Verizon site that is about 9 acres, and then we are going to – the city is going to swap an adjacent piece of property that's owned by a Santa Monica City College for some property they have, and then that will be added to the Verizon site to provide the full facility. And that those agreements are in the final stages right now.
Where's the Verizon site?
The Verizon site is in Santa Monica, It's Stewart Street, so it's just before you get into the downtown portion of Santa Monica, near Cloverfield. That's for the maintenance and storage facility. That's right. And it's a full maintenance facility with the exception of a paint and body shop. And Expo will fund a paint and body shop for at the Green Line that will be used by the Green Line, Blue Line, and Expo line. And other than that, it's a full-blown facility that will accommodate, I think, 53 cars. I think a total of 12, something like that.
Rick, could you describe the other maintenance storage areas over by the Blue Line, please?
Well, we have, as part of Expo Phase 1, right off Washington Street, we will have another storage facility that will accommodate 16 vehicles, and that is, we're finishing up the final design of that, and will be under construction. It is at Long Beach Boulevard and Washington Street on the east side of the street.
Or in Washington.
Can you go back to that map, the delay map?
See the lower right-hand corner, kind of the, well, it actually is off the map, but it's down on the Blue Line. Yes, it's off the Blue Line. It's where the Blue Line makes the turn onto Washington Street. So it's right at that corner. So Long Beach Boulevard. No, Trade Tech is at Flower, and it's on the other end where you go down Washington, and then the Blue Line makes the turn south on Long Beach Boulevard. It's right at that corner.
That's way beyond Trade Tech.
No, we've scaled it back now to the point where it's within the budget. Yes. It was delayed because it was originally at the Blue Line facility down in Long Beach, and we couldn't buy the land there, so we had to find a new location, and it took us a while to find that new location. Then once we found it, we had to go through the environmental process because it wasn't environmentally cleared. And then Metro wanted a bigger facility, which was over budget. And so we had to scale that back down to get it back within budget. It's down close to Long Beach. I don't know the
right
exact.
Off the Long Beach Freeway.
Mr. Chairman, yes, it's east of the Long Beach Freeway, south of Del Amo in the north part of Long Beach.
But do the same thing that it's doing here?
No, it isn't big enough. It's at capacity right now.
And you can't buy more into it?
Well, that was the initial plan, but the property adjacent to it is owned by Southern Cal Edison, and they wouldn't sell us the property.
So the initial plan was way down there.
That's right. The other thing that...
Which is 107?
If we would have maintained that location... we would have had to deadhead the trains all the way, all the Expo trains all the way down to Long Beach, which would have increased the operating cost significantly.
The one
so this is much
that's
more
in
efficient.
Santa Monica is at what phase?
We just cleared it environmentally, and we're negotiating with Verizon and the city of Santa Monica right now for the acquisition of the property.
When will you know if it's available for purchase or not?
Well, the Verizon site is available, and it's for sale, and it's just a matter of what the cost is.
What's the problem with Santa Monica?
The Santa Monica is negotiating with the Santa Monica City College, and they're in the they've got the draft agreement together, and it's just...
What does that have to do with this property?
Well, it's a combined, to make the facility, we're going to combine the Santa Monica City College property with the Verizon property to provide us a big enough site to handle all of the maintenance facility needs.
So where is it now? I mean, so how long will that take?
We are estimating that the acquisition will take probably 6 to 8 months. We'll be starting design in about 3 or 4 months.
The Santa Monica resolution.
Oh, the Santa Monica within a couple of months.
Why is that?
Well, because they are negotiating with...
They're trading properties.
Yeah, they're trading properties, and they're negotiating with Santa Monica City College right now.
The reason I'm asking the questions is that you make certain pronouncements to us, and, you know, you're supposed to say, oh, that's a good thing, we buy into it. And then we find out, oh, Edison changed its mind. I mean, we were very close to the deal on the Edison deal, right?
No, we were never very close. That was the problem.
What did you tell us that for?
What's that?
You never told us that.
Well, I think we've been talking about it for quite some time now. Yeah.
I understand. So,
but what she's saying is you didn't tell us that it was near.
I mean, it's a done deal over there. And now this Santa Monica one is, oh, it's just a trading of land. You know, it's just a matter of negotiating the price. Or, the point is that it adds to delays because now you've got to change where you go and maintain your facility, where you clean your trains and so on. The reason I'm asking is that when you look at these delays at Expo, they're pretty dramatic. And right now, what is the total delay? I hear we have all these individual, I take it that these delays are all concurrently running, correct?
Yeah, a lot of them are concurrent. The critical one right now is the CPUC approval of Dorsey High School and the settlement agreement with LAUSD. We have to have that by July in order to maintain now what we're calling an April of 2011 substantial completion.
In July?
We have to have it in July.
Is it on the agenda?
We are agendizing it. LAUSD takes it to their board the first week in May, Expo board the first week in May, and this board, I think, May 27th.
And then what about the other? You said the PUC?
Then you have to go to the, once the settlement agreement is signed,
I understand.
Then you have to go through the PUC process.
To be approved in July?
In July, yes.
Is it on their agenda?
Not yet, because we have to have the settlement agreement before they put it on the agenda.
Does it take them to usually, on average, when something's on their agenda, to make a decision?
They usually make, once it's on their agenda, they usually make that decision.
I'm asking the wrong question. How long does it take for them to put it on their agenda? It
takes about a month.
The thing I ever hear about the PUC is, oh no, that's going to take months.
And yes, it's taken a long time, but right now...
Well, but you're saying the decision is not at the PUC. Right now the decision's at various other places. So it hasn't even gotten to the PUC yet.
Yeah, but we're approving,
well, a portion
we're
of
approving
it
their agreement, their settlement agreement. They're not.
That's right. They're waiting
the one that's
for
going
our
before
settlement
the,
agreement.
Just the one that's going before all the various agencies is the one that they recommended, and we have to sign off on.
Right.
And so they don't have to debate it. It's just a matter of getting the settlement agreement signed and then them putting it on their agenda. Is that correct?
And in the interim, when they do that, because they have certain rules, is we'll file a motion as soon as we get the set. If we all parties sign the settlement agreement, the next day we'll file a motion. Then they have 30 days for a review period. Then we have to have a public part, what they call a public participation hearing, and then they schedule it for a final decision.
So that won't happen by July.
Right now, if everything goes according to our schedule, it will occur by the end of July.
Okay, that's fascinating choreography. You know, I just don't usually see it as you see it because it always comes back about how it didn't happen. But interesting. So on these other delays that are running concurrently, we're now talking about how long is the delay?
We're right now, the contractor's showing 58 weeks. We think we can get that back down to about 51, 52 weeks. which is about a year, basically.
And right now, within the framework of each of these delays, and I don't know what the interface, I don't know enough about this entire project because I'm not on the board or have seen it. I'm starting to see it now. That interface with the contractor, what kind of financial dollars are we talking about because of the 58 or 51-week delay?
Well, we are in the process of negotiating with the contractor right now.
I understand, but that's not the question I asked you.
I know, and I guess I would prefer so we don't...
go into closed session before you can give me that number?
Yes. If I could, please.
It's worth discussing. I'd like to know what it is.
Absolutely.
Then let me ask another question. In all of these issues that been that you're enumerating here of delays, they weren't within the framework of the contract provisions of the contractor.
No, not all of them. I mean, the 110 bridge certainly was. That was part of it. Other than the 110 bridge and the La Cienega aerial structure, those are the only two that were part of the original contract.
That were part of the original?
That's correct.
So the problem with regard to the Dorsey High School delay, that's before the that is also a PUC issue, or whatever the others are, they were not within the framework of the contract?
That's correct.
Why is that?
They were added late into the project for various reasons that I just went through. Automatic train protection just got added within the last couple of months because of the issue with Metro's review of potential train-to-train accidents. The Blue Line tie-in.
Let me just ask you why. Sorry, I'm asking questions because I guess I want to know, and I think you should report to us in closed session as to what you know. Yesterday when I was in the committee, on the budget committee, we discussed the issue of the concept of the 3010, as they're calling it, I think, which is taking all of our Measure R money and moving it into a 10-year program, the 30-year plan, into a 10-year program and hopefully benefit from the potential current day costs. It's all a smart thing. It's a good thing. So that we would take advantage, create the jobs and build everything that we're supposed to build in 30 days and build it within 10 years. And then hopefully we have the finance from the revenues to pay for it for the ongoing years. And I think that's going to be before us. It was in concept, as they say. But when you have delays of this type, it's very, you lose all of the benefit of the financial, incentives or benefits. So right now, I'm trying to understand as we build this out, and right now we're not talking about an underground structure at all. We're talking about above ground structure, and we're already talking about 51 to 58 week delay. If that were the case in some of these other instances, then you lose out on the opportunity that seems to be strategically placed in such a way so that the benefit can be there. For example, I don't know in this instance with these delays as to does this delay cause other delays? In other words, is in between these things, are they still building tracks? They're still going through? They're doing all of the other kinds of things except for maybe the issue at Dorsey High or except for the aerial structure in the other.
Actually, all of them are underway except Dorsey High School. So, like I say, the storage and inspection, we're just finishing up the design. That'll get under construction. So, yes, they're all be going simultaneously. Even the automatic train protection, we've started installing ductwork. So we're trying to do everything we possibly can to mitigate the delays.
Well, Rick, you know, you and I have bad history on time frames, okay? So it's hard for me on this side of the table to accept it all. The issue is that as this continues to meet these kinds of delays, there's delays that are always programmed, okay? That is, you know you have to go to the PUC for certain things, so that's a delay that's understood. You know there's design and engineering elements, so that's supposed to be put in the time frame. So right now, even though you haven't gotten to some of these goals as yet, this delay is fairly severe.
Yeah, absolutely correct.
And so consequently, and until you match it with the dollars, could be a 10% increase, could be a 20% increase, could be 50 or 75% increase. There's got to be a point in time that those delays, I mean, they say time costs money or whatever. The issue is then you lose the benefit of the... So I'm raising this issue because it loses the benefit of building something in 10 years that it was scheduled to be built out for 30 years. So you understand the conclusion of in concept. I mean, these are all great concepts. But if we tell people and make commitments to people of building something within a certain time frame and utilizing dollars and the idea that, oh, you're going to do it within this framework, because the questions I was asking about the 10-30 plan or the 30-10 plan, whatever it's called, is, so let's say it costs us more money to do it. Does that mean the project at the end of the line gets less project? And they said, oh, no, that wouldn't happen because there's going to be only so much money that's going to be available for that project. It's going to have to look for money from other areas. That, I don't know what that exactly means. So I guess that's the question I'm asking here. If this is 10%, 20%, or 75% over budget, where will it find the revenue to overcome that issue?
That's something that we'd have to work with Metro. As you know, the Exposition Construction Authority only has the money that's available. So you have two options, basically. You find additional revenue or you cut the project back. And those are the...
So where are you going now? Find additional money or cut the budget back?
Well, the board hasn't given you new money. We have cut back the project to the extent we can. The issue now is, could we do without... protection could we do without some of these additional features, and that'll be a decision that the board of directors will have to make.
When will that be brought to us?
Next month.
Next month?
Well, I mean, three of these major delays were not expected with the PUC.
I can imagine that.
Well, of course, I mean, all it takes is one person to...
But I understand that. That's what I'm saying. It's the same. But what I'm trying to get to is the concept. If now you look at the 30-10 plan, and the question I asked yesterday was, what happens when these go over budget or there are delays of this type, like in this instance? Does the project that is getting done now get the project money from the one at the end of the line? And then does the one at the end of the line get shortchanged?
Yep.
Don't say yes, because they said no yesterday. I'm just...
Well, I mean, but it's like 30-year plans. It's a 10-year plan. Oh, no, I understand. You're talking about 30-10. I'm talking about all the other things that have gone through this agency.
No, I understand.
You know, when you try to do the out years, that was the whole issue with the subway to the sea. Once you start a project, you're going to have to finish it.
Well, but that's exactly...
Once you start it, you're going to have to finish it.
But, Don, again, I don't mean to be disrespectful. I know how it works here. That's why I asked the question yesterday over and over again, because that's exactly what... Is it going to suck all the money out of the remaining projects? What we're seeing here is some money being sucked out. I just don't know where it's coming from yet. In this instance, they said, absolutely not. I was here yesterday. John, I think you were with me, right?
No,
I think that would just create a subway to the lake.
To the pond or to the river. The point is, do you understand? I mean, because I'm all in favor of it. My gosh, the East Side Extension is on there. I should say hallelujah. But the point is that I'm worried that, you know, while the concept sounds fantastic, I might still be living before they start building the East Side Extension, which is a good thing. But the point is that just a misleading potential so that I can approve in concept, but at the end of the day, I still got to wait my 30 years, except the problem is going to be there's not going to be any money because all of the money was advanced for the 10-year project that took away my opportunity for my money. These are questions, folks, that have to be asked. I know how we do business around here. I've sat here long enough to know.
I'm just telling you.
I know, but they didn't agree with us yesterday.
Oh. Okay.
They were telling us differently yesterday, Don.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. I'm putting it all within the context of what was said yesterday. Everybody, you know, they operate in silos and everybody tells us what we want to hear at the moment that we need it. It's just like when you're a kid, you know, you're trying to ask them some questions and they'll tell you what you want to hear because they need something that moment. Later on, it's a different thing. It's the same kind of thing. That's what we heard yesterday. That's why I'm tying it together. Because it that's what concerns me. And Mr. Taylor, you were there yesterday. You heard the discussion there, and I asked it a couple of different ways, as you know. And the assurances were, no, it would not. They'd have to find other revenue, or they'd have to find how to cut back that project within the money that was available. Now, that's what I was told.
Okay.
That's just not the way business gets done around here, but that's what I was told. But also know that seven votes can change anything at any moment.
Chairman and Director Molina, you're very correct in pointing out that this isn't the first example of the requirement for the discipline that we talked about yesterday in terms of not grabbing money from other projects to complete projects. And so this will be an interesting test to see how we resolve it.
And I think that one of the things that is going to happen is that right now in the 3010 or the 1030 plan, we have to convince a lot of people, whether it be the Obama administration, the Senate, a whole lot of people in Congress. The concept is a very, very good one. Everyone would like to utilize it. The financing isn't completely there yet, but it can be, I think. The problem is if we are not sincere in our actions, then I think that is where the problem will begin. So if you're going to venture into something that seems like a very good idea, you better show some sincerity with the projects that you have in place. So you're right, the test will be that. At the end of the day, I know how this place works, and I know it only takes seven votes to change anything that has been planned for decades. But I'm really concerned about a commitment, a commitment. Everybody talks about how grand with Measure R. We have a mandate from the voters. Well, I don't know that it was completely a mandate, but it's a very positive thing. So I don't want to take away from it. And I don't even want to take away from the concept that is being promoted by the mayor because it's also a good thing. It is the practical application of the process that starts making it fall apart. And this is one example that concerns me.
Okay. All right. Sure.
I share your concerns, and
everybody does until you have to vote.
Well, no. I go back the last month or two. I wasn't here yesterday, so I'm not familiar with the dialogue. But the whole discussion we had in the last few months, culminating in an agreement with the Gold Line Construction Authority Foothill, was to establish mechanisms to identify the kind of problems that you're noting. In a timely fashion so that preemptive actions can be taken before we're this far along. This is well along now, so it's very difficult to go back and figure out what might have been done differently. The whole point of those agreements is for future projects is to figure out, okay, how do we avoid being in this situation? Once you're there, they're going to get out of it as best they can. But I would hope that we avoid that on Expo 2 and other projects.
I agree with you. The point is that keep in mind I was sitting here when you weren't, and I was assured of those things happening, right? But then you get to this point, and oh, golly, that fell through. Oh, golly, that didn't happen. Oh, gee, we didn't make that. That's the point. I understand that. It's just that I sit here in the initial process, and then later on in actual choreography, this is the plan, this is how we're going to do it. But then when implementation happens, there's just a little bit of, and little slippage is okay, it's understood, it's built in. It's how dramatic is that slip going to be? That's why I'm asking about how dramatic is this? Is this a 5% increase in cost, or is it a 10, 20, or 30% increase in cost? That's a very real issue. And where does it come from?
Question, that's why I always raise my comments about certain projects, and that was my concern about Measure R, because some of these projects, once they get going, you have to finish them. So
It makes it very difficult, just as you say, to make ends meet. Anything else, Rick, before we go to the next item? Anything else under item 40? This is the longest report I've ever heard in the history. You about done, Marty?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. No more? I'm just waiting to see where the report's done. John, I'll get to you, but I didn't forget about you.
No, I don't have any more on item 40, but I do have item 41 and 42.
Okay, but I have a public comment. Item 40, John Walsh.
Thank you, Dan.
John Walsh, HollandandHighlands.org. You started a project. You designed it. It was unsafe. A group of black and brown people called Fix Expo, who got up right here and called it environmental racism, right here, brought you to the PUC, and the PUC found for the black and brown people against the whites who are running things on the west side. You know who I'm talking about. And I want to say to Miss Molina, you had a project, and it came in on budget, and on time. Zev, Mr. Zev, the big shot, knows everything. His project is 58 weeks behind schedule, tens of millions of dollars, and this snake oil salesman up here, oh, don't worry, we'll get it down to 50 weeks. This is exactly what happened on the red line, which came in $250 million over budget.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Walks. Thank you. All right, item 41.
Item 41 is requesting approval for the CEO to sign a contract with the Environmental Compliance Services, the ICF International. This is, bulk of this work has to do with providing for the I-710 South project, air quality analysis and the community outreach support. The rest of the support from them is needed for projects that we are ongoing, like Sound Walls, Orange Line Extension, Crenshaw Project, the Regional Connector Project, and the Division 13, all of those projects. So, total of $4.1 million.
Right. Okay, it's been moved. Chair, I'll second. Any objections? So ordered. Okay. Thank you. Wait a minute, excuse me. Oh my God. Okay, thanks, John. Ooh.
Next item is item number 42. We are planning to tag on to an existing contract with Cubic to buy additional ticket vending machines as well as the standalone validators in the amount of $3.952 million. By buying this in advance, we will be saving a considerable amount of money at this time. If we have to go procure them later on, 2 years down the road, we will be spending a lot more money. That's the reason for this purchase at this time.
Mr. Walsh?
This is give money to Cuba. What do you say? First of all, you told us you were going to lock the gates on the machine. And so therefore your ticket would mean something. Then you decided, because the sheriff told you they didn't want the gates locked, that they spin, the turntiles spin. It's still back. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars and we're back to it's your own choice if you want to pay or not. Cubic became rich out of this. What happened? And now you want to build more decoy machines. And the LA Times won't do the story. And it's always been on HollywoodHighlands.org and the federal government. Remember, you do not have to pay. Those gates are phony. Those turnstiles are phony. You can spin in and out, and you lied to us. You lied to us when you said you were building a gate. Do any of you keep your doors unlocked? Why did you spend hundreds of millions of dollars, and we know why? Cubic.
Thank you. Okay, it's not. Thank you for your editorial comment there. Do we need a fork this vote? 3 votes just to send it forward. Is that correct? Okay. All right. Is there a motion to move it forward to the full agenda? Okay. It's been moved to second. Any objections? So ordered. Item 43. Didn't we do this already?
Rick.
Feels like it. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. It does feel like it. Okay, item 43.
I think Rick already addressed some of that when he's construction cost.
This is a receive and file. Is that correct? This is no. Thanks. This is to receive and file. This is no recommendations, right, to yeah, move forward?
That's correct, and I think I've addressed pretty much everything.
Thank you. Yes. Any additional questions? Anything that you thought you overlooked, Rick?
I took care of my board.
Okay. I mean, if there's anything, seriously, if there's anything, I think you sort of went through item by item, but if there's anything you felt that you didn't explain or, any clarification, feel free. If not, I'll have a public comment. Other than that, pardon me?
I'll be back next month with a more detailed listing.
Thank you. Mr. Walsh. We'll just receive and file and item 43. Item 44 is the CEO's report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Real briefly, made some testimony in Washington the other day on our activities. They were very happy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's great. Mr. Fasana?
Yes, I just wanted to indicate I'm going to be introducing a motion at the full board. I want to let the person know about that. For the Route 710 Northern Tunnel project and steps, I'm passing motion out with time to show them where the work is going to be. We have been pulled from the community process so we move that along.
Okay. We appreciate that. That's a Fasana and Molina motion. Okay. And then we do have public comments. We appreciate the heads up, Mr. Fasana. Okay. This is public comments. John Walsh, HollywoodHighlands.org. All right.
I got it right here. You want to see it? Go that one hand. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. You know, you did a good job of building it, but the East Side, L.A., 80,000 the first day. Now it's doing 5,000 boardings a day. It's empty. So what they want to do is take the 30 and 31 buses, which parallel it, get rid of those, and put people on the train. And I just like to say, whenever I get something wrong, you go right down my throat. I remember a couple of years ago, I said line 77 bus instead of line 79. They jumped on me. They jumped on me. You're out of your mind. It's a 77. The point I'm making here is everything I say about the phone turnstiles is true, or they would destroy my credibility right now. Thank you.
There being no further exciting business coming before the construction committee, this meeting adjourned.
Operations committee will.